Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 143 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are about to start talking about the character advancement, aka the experience system, any minute now. But first, as is tradition, the author must offer excuses. I mean game design notes. As is characteristic of the author's approach throughout this book, before the author will let us read the game, first he has to explain why the game may seem bad, but it's actually good. And if we think that it's bad, then we're just not understanding it right. And as usual, the author's methods are unorthodox. He leads off this page, justifying the experience system, with the following. Quote, "I'd like to use a comic book analogy, if I may. Using a level system and starting at first level is the difference between playing the comic book and film character Batman as he is today with years of experience, the Batcave, Batmobile, and other gadgets at his disposal, Robin, Nightwing, and a host of agents, contacts, and friends, seasoned ability, and years of experience and confidence under his utility belt, and playing Batman Year One. Staying with this analogy, Batman Year One is the Dark Knight at first level. He is done with all his training and preparations, and is just launching his career as a crime-fighting vigilante. There is no Batcave or Robin, and the great Batman isn't so grand. His skills and abilities are not yet fully developed, and he lacks the experience of a polished veteran." Applying this example to role-playing, the author goes on to say, quote, "Not only is this learning curve fun to play, but starting at level one and growing a character through experience, i.e. watching your character grow by trial and tribulation through real experience, makes the character that much richer with a background, skills, abilities, and experience that have been earned." The author concludes by saying, quote, "That, my dear readers, is a superior, vivid character. And that's what the experience level approach establishes and promotes, in my opinion, better than any other." This is like two paragraphs into the page, but it gives us everything we need. It gives us everything we need to talk about the dumbest thing on today's page. First of all, I don't know if you caught it amidst the shock of the author defending his realistic experience system based on the evidence of Batman comics, but the author's analogy here, his example of Batman, is fine, except that it supports the opposite conclusion from what he's trying to make. The thing is, for those of you who don't follow comic books, Batman Year One was not, in fact, published in the first year of Batman comics. Batman Year One was published in 1987, almost 50 years after the first Batman story. In that story, while Batman is missing much of the elaboration on the character that we got later, he's already like a full-grown, competent crime fighter. He's not a baby vigilante who's getting his little pointy-eared mask turned around over his eyes so that he can't see. He's not out there bumbling around with like an awkward sack hanging from his belt full of untested bat gadgets. That's not the character, not at its core. The point of Batman is Batman. And I venture to say, I'm no comic book historian, but if the first 5 years of Batman had been about some incompetent asshole out there falling off of rooftops until he can get his shit together, perhaps Batman would never have become the global icon that he was by 1987, when creators decided it might be fun to go back and look at where this already beloved character came from. Audiences do not have infinite patience to wait around week after week and month after month, waiting for a character to become likable and interesting. And hey, I can think of an analogous situation. Role-playing games, where if you come to the table wanting to play Batman, and the GM tells you, well, in the interest of creating a fully rounded character, I know you want to be Batman, but let's plan for you to become Batman 2 to 3 years from now, and you'll start out as an incompetent doofus in pajamas who will probably be shot to death. I would say, counteroffer. Why don't you stick this rulebook up your ass? Just go ahead and clench tight for 2 or 3 years. I'll set myself a reminder on my calendar. I'll come back then and we'll just pick right up with grown-up Batman. How about that? I have no time to waste on baby Batman. And this isn't to say that like the growing up narrative of a character starting from level one can't be fun. It absolutely can be. And it's a way that I like to play, you know, fantasy games or whatever. If that's the character concept, that's the key thing. If the story I want to do is one of character growth from being a relatively normal person to being more powerful or more whatever, changing in some way, then of course I want to play out that change. Maybe I'm happy to start off as solo Batman and then gradually gain Robin and the Batcave and the rest of the Bat family. But if that's what I want, then I certainly don't want to have to wait actual years to even get to the point that I can start that story. In the same way that I may be very happy to play, you know, a special forces veteran who goes back to civilian life, discovers the existence of monsters, and has to somehow deal with this overwhelming force, this overwhelming supernatural threat using his conventional military skills, and then gradually becomes more inured to the supernatural, more competent as a monster hunter. That's fine. To do that story, I do have to start at like the end of a special forces career. Because at the beginning, I'm just not the character I want to play yet. So that's, I guess, the dumbest thing on this page straight up, is that this Batman analogy is precisely backward. Batman is great evidence for the idea that there can be growing complexity, growing engagement, a compelling story told about a character who already starts off highly competent as a condition of their story being told. But my other issue with this page is the very last part. Quote, "That's what the experience level approach establishes and promotes, in my opinion, better than any other." What other systems is the author thinking of? Because if you look at this whole page, what it keeps going back to with Batman, with an ill-advised and long-winded description of how leveling works in real life, like, quote, "I don't care how much schooling and education a person gets or how much time a person logs on a computer or playing through controlled simulations, none of it is a substitute for real-life experience." And then Kevin Zambita, in his personal voice, talks about himself for a while and how he's been writing role-playing games for 24 years and his writing has gotten better, how even though he was already doing his best and was able to create hit games early in his career, he's still better now because time has intervened and, you know, he's learned things. And then there's this thing about like quarterbacks and boxers taking a certain length of time to like hit professional level, even if they have a lot of undisciplined talent, all of which I guess is meant to prove the point that people get better at things, which, okay, people get better at things. It's as true for psychics, presumably, as it is for boxers and quarterbacks and world famous game designer Kevin Zambita. But what does that have to do with experience levels? It seems like what the author is making the case for is you have to have an experience level system. I mean, obviously, you have to rate characters on a 1 to 15 scale of which unified level in a class they are, because what other way could there possibly be to represent people getting better at things? It's just like how, if you're a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young artist in the comic book field, and you pick up that pencil and you start sketching, and you also happen to know how to swim from your childhood, if you apply yourself to your craft, you will get better at drawing quickly at first, and then more slowly over your career, you'll continue to hone your professional skills, and every time you get better at drawing, you'll also get 3% better at swimming. Because everything about you increases at the same time, in discrete chunks. It's just like if you're a professional swimmer who loved to draw when you were a kid, if you practice more and more, you get better and better at swimming. And every time you learn to swim better, you also get better at drawing. As much better at drawing as a professional comic book artist who's practicing his craft every day. It's just the way people work. Any pursuit you can follow in life makes you better at drawing comic books at exactly the same rate. It's perplexing to me that a whole page was devoted to this and apparently playtesting. I mean, remember last page. Apparently, there's like a hotbed of wasted creativity happening in the previously unknown Palladium playtest department, where they're trying out all these new, hip, modern ways to run games. And then finally, what they came around to is nothing quite captures either realistic human development or the comic book adventures of Batman in quite the elegant way as the clunky-ass experience level system from AD&D. I mean, this game is clinging with all its might to the coattails of the World of Darkness games, which started coming out like 14 years before the publication of this game, and have always used a point-by-advancement system where you can actually choose to focus improvement on the things that you do and care about as a character, as opposed to everything across the board all at once at the same rate, like a level system. And there's on a whole page, more than a whole page, defending the experience level system still being used in Palladium games, there's not even a whisper of an argument for not doing things that way. It's like the author never even thought about it. It raises the possibility, and this is pure speculation, not meant to besmirch anyone, but I've seen this sort of thing in evidence in other old school gamers I've known. It's possible that like when Kevin Zambita reads modern game books, they read to him the way that Palladium books read to us. He would open a game like Masks, say, and just flip through it and read the words and be like, I don't understand how these words go together. I just don't get it. Why is this here? Huh? And come to the conclusion, this game is broken, nothing in it works, nothing makes any sense, I don't understand why I'm reading what I'm reading, and he tosses it aside and returns to his tried and true solution to all of the gaming problems he identified in his personal group in like 1978. Maybe that's what's happening, because that's the only explanation I can think of for why, after 24 years as a game designer, and you know, many levels of advancement, as Zambita himself puts it, the author on this page legitimately doesn't seem to understand that there could be a different way of advancing characters other than a D&D style level system. But I don't know, like the jury's out on that. I'm legitimately confused by even what the author is trying to say here. I'm certain about what he's trying to say in the first paragraph about Batman, and that shit's just straight up wrong. Grown-up Batman is better than baby Batman, so that's the dumbest thing on this page. Grown-up Batman is the star, baby Batman is a novelty, so the idea that you should always play the latter is just straight up wrong. But anyway, whatever the author was trying to say on this page, he's saying something else next page, so don't worry about it. Join me next time for that on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.